Lecture 18, Roman Imperialism.
Hello and welcome to lecture number 18 in our series on the foundations of Western civilization. In this lecture, we'll take up the subject of the rise of the Roman Empire. Now, you may recall that at the end of the last lecture, when we talked about Roman government and institutions, I was suggesting that the emergence of the Roman Empire produced serious and finally fatal strains for the Roman Republic. So let's build that empire and see then what kinds of strains it might have created. First, let's just clear up a little bit of terminology. Empire in the Roman context can have two distinct meanings. Okay? On the one hand, it can mean the large congeries of territories that the Romans conquered and over which they exerted rule, physically, geographically, an empire. But when finally the Roman Republic collapsed into a military dictatorship, Rome had emperors. And then the word Roman Empire refers to a particular kind of political regime. Now, that regime still had an empire as a geographical entity. All right? In today's lecture, in this lecture, what we're going to talk about is the building of a geographical empire by the Roman Republic. In later lectures, we'll collapse that republic into a military dictatorship, we'll create emperors, and then we'll study the empire that the emperors ruled. So today, empire doesn't have anything to do with emperors, it has to do with an empire. Okay. What then did the Romans do? How did the Romans come to build an empire all over the Mediterranean world? You'll perhaps recall that when we talked about the rise of Rome a couple of lectures back, it was the case that the early Romans around the city of Rome on the plain of Latium began to struggle with other parties in Italy. They struggled with Greeks to the south. They struggled with the Etruscans to the north. They struggled with various peoples who lived in their own immediate neighborhood in central Italy. And we saw that those struggles, which they had with their neighbors in Italy, had some fairly decisive, fairly important consequences for the early shaping, of the Roman political system and the Roman social system. Now, gradually, the Romans sort of achieved a degree of independence from the Etruscans to the north. The Greeks continued to live to the south. And in central Italy, the Romans built what we call the Latin League. And it was Rome's relations with the Latin League that set the Romans on a course of conquest in Italy, which would eventually bring them to a course of conquest throughout the Hellenistic world, throughout the Mediterranean world. So Rome built this vast empire over a long time by small steps. That's the first thing we want to keep in mind. It was something that happened very gradually over a very long period of time. Now the Latins, the people who lived in Latium, rebelled against the Romans between 340 and 338 BC. The Romans successfully put down the revolt. Shortly before this war, the Romans made a treaty with the Samnites. Now, these were people who lived to the south of Rome. They lived in the hills to the south of Rome. And a border provocation then led to a series of three Samnite wars between 343 and 290 BC. As the Romans fought their neighbors to the south, the Samnites, they bumped up against the frontiers of Magna Graecia, Greater Greece, that area in the south of Italy, centered on the Bay of Naples, which had been all of those Greek colonies that we talked about in a much earlier lecture. Some of the Greeks had aided the Samnites. During Rome's struggle with the Samnites, some of the Greeks in the south thought, well, these Romans are a little meddlesome. They aided the Samnites in hopes of keeping the Romans to the north. The Romans therefore decided that that was a provocation and began to make war upon the Greeks to the south. The Greeks to the south then invited in one of the minor Hellenistic monarchs. His name was Pyrrhus. He was the king of Epirus, more or less what used to be Yugoslavia, in the western Balkans, to come in and help them. Now, Pyrrhus was sort of an up-to-date Hellenistic monarch, and he had a very substantial military establishment. He came in, he actually defeated the Romans twice, but both of his victories over the Romans were so costly to him in human and material terms that we give to those victories still the name a Pyrrhic victory, a victory, you know, that if you win any more like that, you're going to lose. And eventually, Pyrrhus was defeated because the Romans just wore him down.